Today, all over the world, we are gathering. In large groups and small. In different places and different languages. In buildings and schools. Empty spaces and open fields. In our homes and on our phones. Some come together in freedom, while others have to meet in secret. Some will sing the old hymns, while others are singing something new. We'll all learn different things from the same Bible and worship the same God in different ways. We are the church, the body of Christ, different pieces molded together by the hand of God. Today, all over the world, we are gathering as one.
Good morning, church family. My name is Aaron Meeks. I'm one of your pastors here at Bethel, and I work primarily with our students. Today, I want to tell you a little story. Several years ago, I went to this place. I visited this big monument, this big architectural thing in the middle of a field. It was next to a church. And this, you may know this place. I'm going to have you guess in a second. It's not known for its architectural beauty. It's known for its poor foundation. Yet every year it attracts over 5 million tourists. And it's and people want to stand in front of it, this crooked tower, and look like this right here. Or like this. One of the two. I like to pretend like I'm pushing it down. I can find a picture of myself, but not going to. Now, with most great buildings of the world, they're known for their beauty or their height or the size of them, but every structure depends on something that's more important than just appearances, and that is its foundation. Because if its foundation is not solid, the building will never stand the test of time. You may have guessed what the building was. Does anybody have a guess? Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. This tower was built as a bell tower for the church. Its original purpose was to ring across the city, calling people to worship, and it rang on special occasions. The tower, even from its construction, had foundational issues because of the soft ground that it was at its foundation. The lack of a strong foundation is what makes this popular today and why it's visited so many times. And because its foundation was weak, it began to lean over time. What should have stood firmly has drifted off course. The bell tower that should have been known for its unifying sound for the church is now known for its defectiveness. In many ways, the tower reminds me of what we've been studying in 1 Corinthians. The main thing Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians is the need for the church to remain unified and focus on its foundational purpose in Christ. The church at Corinth had many of the right things. They were gifted. They were passionate. They all had the potential to make a kingdom impact. But they were distracted by the world. They were not standing firm. They were leaning. They were an unhealthy church because they began to miss the very reason the church exists, which is why Paul is writing them this letter in the first place. They leaned into division, pride, and things of this world. They should have stood on the truth of Christ. When Paul starts out this letter in chapter 1 in verse 10, he gives them a command. Let there be no division among you. May you be united in the same understanding and the same conviction. He's telling them, go back to the basics of your faith. Make the main thing the main thing. Be unified as the church. The theme here is really just to go back to why the church exists. A church that leans will eventually fall, but a church that stands firm on the foundation of Christ will be unified and ring out the gospel to a lost and dying world. As we've seen all along in 1 Corinthians, Paul covers all that he heard about the body of believers. I'm not going to recover that for you, but there's a lot of things you can go back and listen to. But it reminds him in chapter 3 of who the foundation truly is, Jesus Christ. And he continues on in chapter 12, verse 12, we are one, just like the body is one, but with many parts. Although we have different gifts, different ministries, we are unified in the foundation of Christ as his church. These gifts and ministries have been given to us in order to be used for the love of Christ and one another in order to bring God glory. That's in chapter 12 and chapter 13. Everything in the church so far in 1 Corinthians is simply meant to build up the church so that we may be one in Christ, as it says in chapter 14, verse 12. As Paul begins to close this letter, which is where we're going to begin today in chapter 16, we're going to start with verse 1. He starts with something very practical. So listen to what he says. Now, about the collection for the saints, do the same as I instructed the Galatian churches. On the first day of the week, each of you is to set something aside and save it in keeping with how he is prospering, so that no collection will be needed when I come. When I arrive, I will send with letters of those recommended to carry your gifts to Jerusalem. The collection is a monetary giving to the church. It's to be used for the spread of the gospel and help with the believers in Jerusalem. The believers in the church are instructed to be generous in their giving. This is essential in the church, not only for the Corinthians, but also for us today. It is important that we prioritize collective efforts in order to reach our world around us for the gospel. This was an instruction to intentional, consistent, unified giving. If we use wealth for ourselves, we begin to lean. This is one of the reasons I love being part of a Southern Baptist church and the Southern Baptist Convention. When you give here at Bethel, you're not only giving to the local body here, you're also giving to the unified mission of the Southern Baptist. This includes the North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board, where these funds go out to reach our country and world for the gospel of Jesus. Our church is living this out right now as we speak. And I'm thankful to be part of this local body where we send out missionaries to Montgomery yesterday to reach that community there. And we were able to see one person come to Christ, praise the Lord, through that. And then right now, as we speak, our pastor and the rest of the team of 17 people are in Guatemala doing this, reaching the world for Christ. This is what it looks like to stand together, firm, stand firm in the faith together, extending outward, not leaning inward. Being one in our giving sets our priorities as people of God. Money drives a lot of our decisions in this life. Where we go, what we do, how we look, what we value. But if we use worth for ourselves, we begin to lean. Giving to the right things in the right way is what Paul was referencing here. No matter the amount that you give, as long as it's generous for that one believer, the church should be one in their giving so we can have a collective together to make a bigger impact. And so that way, not one man could boast about their giving, but the church, as Christ's church, could do it together. And so we can ensure that our focus is on the foundation of Christ and his kingdom and not trying to build our own. When we give, we are helping the church stand. And let me clarify, when I say church, I don't mean this physical building. But the congregation is the church. When the church stands firm, the gospel will be proclaimed. It will ring out among our community and nations. As we go on to verse 7 in chapter 16, we see a lot of things here in this section. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read this for you today. He's talking about coming to visit the church. I don't want to see you now just in passing, since I have to hope to spend some time with you if the Lord allows. So Paul moves from collection to saying, hey, I want to be with you. He wants to be with them. It is his desire to be with God's people, worshiping with them. He knows the importance of a unified church meeting together like we are today. Here in Scripture, we see a man who is considered one of the greatest missionaries known to man that we have in our scriptures. But he desires to be physically with the church. Even in all the ways people in this congregation in Corinth are broken, Paul wants to be with them longer. Why? Because he needs to be among believers. Despite their faults, He is encouraged by them. He is encouragement to them. As the church, we need each other. Just as in the conversation about our spiritual gifts and our love to build up each other to do the work of the Lord, when we present with one another, when we're present with one another, we help each other stand firm. Being one in community with one another is something I want to recognize here too. That some of them are watching online right now that cannot be physically here with us. But I want them to know that we love you. And as a church, we're praying for you and we're here for you. And you still remain a vital part of our church. Our desire as a church is that we should be the same as Paul, is to be with the church. As I've talked to some people that are not able to be here physically, they still have that desire. We have Christ's example. He came near to us even in our sin. We now come near to each other as a reminder of what the Savior did for us. Because I'm going to be honest, the church is not for the perfect, it's for the broken. And we need each other to stir each other on to do the good works. Being one with the church community also comes out in how you serve. We see here in this section in chapter 16, 10 through 18, Paul mentions several people. And I'm going to quickly go through here. Timothy, Aquila, Priscilla, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. I got all those names right, I think. But yes, Timothy, who Paul considered a spiritual son, sends him on an extension of his ministry. But Paul does warn here in the church, says, hey, you better treat him well. Treat him well and respectfully. Many think that's because of Timothy's youth. If we reference to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy about when Paul writes to him. But Paul was not giving this warning just because of Timothy. Because Timothy was a messenger for the sake of the gospel. His authority didn't come from Paul. It came from the Son of God and who he is sent in the name of. And we move on to Aquila and Priscilla. It's a husband and wife team who were in tent making, much like Paul was. So they had a lot in common. And Paul mentions Priscilla in other places, several other times in letters, where they were essential in the partnership for the missionary efforts in other churches. Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, these were men in the church who were most likely the go-between, delivering the letters Paul and the church had written. Delivering the message of the gospel from Paul to the church, and then the church's questions and answers to Paul. They were men who volunteered for ministry, not for power, not for control, but to serve sacrificially. They didn't want control. They wanted to serve as Jesus served, humbly, sacrificially, serve his church through Christ-like love. And Paul does not just mention these people. He tells us how we should view servants like this in our church. As he says in verse 15, if you look with me there again. Brothers and sisters, you know the household of Stephanas. They were the first fruits of Chai, and they have devoted themselves to serving the saints. I urge you also to submit to such people and to everyone who works and labors with them. He does not highlight these people because they are the loudest and because they were humble servants. Just because they were humble servants. It's important to know that each one of them had roles in the church, and Paul was fond of them. They were the ones who encouraged him whenever he was not with the church. And we should recognize such people. Why? Because these people are helping the church stand firm. As I look out right now, I know several of you, I consider these people in our church, in our local church. But many of you may maybe pop in your head of who that is for you. Let's work alongside these people in our lives. Let's encourage them. Let's stir them on and be an encouragement to them. Here's a truth from God's word. We hear a lot of people say this. Not all the time here at this church, but any church they go to. I feel lonely in the church. I feel like I don't belong. I don't feel really connected. I don't really know anyone. But here's a hard question for you. Are you serving? If you're asking those questions and you feel that way, are you serving? Are you stepping into community with others? The church was never meant to be a place where you simply attend. It was a place where you belong. It is no mistake, as we further on in the scriptures in 13, as we go back up to 13 and 14, that Paul takes a break from taking it about his plans and the people that he's talking about, and he says this little truth. It's a big truth, but a little sentence in 13 and 14. Be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. He's saying, look here, look at the saints among you, not only the apostles that we know, but the work of the Lord done in their lives and the people of the church's life. Paul's instruction here is clear. We're not to lean, we're not to drift, or let the pressures of this life pull us off course. Standing firm in the faith requires awareness, watching for the ways the world tries to distract our hearts. And honestly, we have one of the biggest distractions in most of our pockets right now. It requires courage, doing what is right even when it's hard. It requires strength, supporting one another in love so that the church does not lean. And above all, it requires love. Without love, all our efforts to stand firm will crumble. But with love, the body of Christ remains strong and unified. May we be like these people. They were watchful. They stood firm in the faith. And they did everything in love. We should be one in our community of believers, even in the ways that we serve and build up the church. Using our gifts for the glory of God is essential for the body of Christ. For us to serve through love, we, as we're reminded earlier in this letter, that if it's without love, it's useless. These people Paul mentioned are being used as an example of what love looks like in the church. So what would this look like in your life? Opening your home to a bunch of teenagers for D-Now, like so many of you did, thank you. Or even opening your home as a foster parent. What would it look like in your life to be like Achaicus, who were simple, faithful servants of God to bring the word, to carry it? This is what holds the church together. And as we love as Christ loves, we do not lean. We stand firm. We need each other, just as Paul needed other people in his life to encourage him, to build him up, for him to lean on. And I've seen how this local body, myself, in the last year, if not the whole time I've been here, has rallied alongside each other, stirring each other on to do good works, traveling distances for encouragement of the saints, not only for those abroad, but also for those that we see weekly. Some of these have been the darkest days for some of the families. But I've seen life groups, other church members, step up to the plate and help and encourage each other through love, making collections for the saints, meeting together, sharing in our spiritual gifts. May the Lord get glory and honor for all of this that I've seen. This is what the heart of the church is about. Jesus said it best in the Gospel of John, where it says, "The world will know you are mine by your love for one another." In 1 Corinthians 16, 23 through 24, we're going to end, kind of start landing our plane here. We see Paul end his letter to the Corinthians. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." We are to be unified around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our love for God and each other centers around the good news being spread around the world. And to be honest with you, If it wasn't for the love of Christ, I would not be able to love most people in my life and be able to forgive them. We should never forget what Jesus did for us. This is how we remain strong. This is how we stand firm. No matter where I've been in a church, overseas or here in the United States, there's a common reason why the church meets. The gospel and truth of God's word unites the global church, regardless of man-made borders. All around the world, there are believers meeting in private and others meeting in large buildings. And while I was in China, our audio system was simply a cup and a phone set inside of it. So that we didn't sing too loud, and we had printed music and sheet protectors for Getty Music. And we're singing songs that we knew, but we couldn't be too loud. Why? Because we're afraid of what might happen to believers around us as we are listening to horns and things outside of street vendors. But at first, I didn't understand this, but I knew that we're centered around one thing, and that's the gospel. And when I lived in Haiti, similar situation. The churches I attended were either pavilions without walls or buildings without good ventilation, filled with joyful believers singing praise to God in their heart language. And at first, I didn't understand a word they were saying, but I knew one thing was true, that they gathered in the name of the Lord together as one for the gospel of Jesus. And some of you may have experiences like this, whether it be the Dominican Republic, Zambia, Thailand, or even the experiences our Guatemala mission team is experiencing right now. The gospel unites the global church. We must remember that no matter what passport you hold or citizenship you have, if you're a follower in Jesus Christ, you are identified in him through his death and resurrection. Through him, we are unified as citizens of heaven. Much like when Paul says it here, the grace of the Lord be with you. And he's speaking to a church across, and he's sending this the same message across his letters. Everything centers around the one fact of the gospel, that is our strength and zeal comes from God and God alone. This brings us back to where we started today, thinking about the Tower of Pisa. May we live as a church, stand firm, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. So as we wrap up our study in 1 Corinthians, as our local body, as the church, may we strive for these four things that Paul addresses. As believers and as part of this local body, we must be unified in our giving. We must be unified in our love for one another. We must be unified in our serving and encouraging one another. And we must be unified in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what standing firm in the faith looks like in the church. And some of you today may feel like your home, your marriage, your life is leaning, your family. Remember that the church, that the people around you, your life group, we're here to support and love you through it. Lean on us so that way we can remind you of the foundation that you have in Christ. Because that is the only foundation that will ever stand the test of time. So, are you giving to the advancement of the gospel? Are you serving in our local church? Are you stepping into community to give encouragement? May we be unified as Christ's church, building each other up, stirring each other on to good works. That is my prayer for us today. And maybe today you realize you've actually never addressed your brokenness and how our brokenness is keeping us being unified with a holy God. And that's why Jesus had to die in your place, so that that relationship could be healed that once was broken. If this is where you are today and you want to take a step towards addressing your brokenness, don't wait. Don't push it off. As we have seen in the study in 1 Corinthians, we don't need to be perfect. We only need to submit to a perfect Savior. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That even in our brokenness, God chose to love us in spite of the sin in our lives. And you may say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, there's a guy in Montgomery yesterday that would tell you different. That he said he was completely broken beyond repair. But yet Christ stepped into his life because he saved his life. May you submit to Christ today if you have not. And you can respond to his word in this way. You can begin praying on your own, asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That's the first step. And lead your life. Let him be king of your life. Confess your need for him. Believe in him and what he has done for you. And place your trust in him as Lord and Savior. Make him the foundation of your life. And today, if you need to speak to someone here about what it means to follow Jesus, or if you want to just learn how to serve this local church better, we'll be down front to talk with you, pray with you. And remember, if you feel like you're alone, or if you have a moment where you feel like your family and your life is starting to lean and you're losing your footing, lean on us as your church. We're here to remind you of your foundation and where it lies, but also lean on us so that way you don't fall. Church, stand firm. Do not lean. Christ is our foundation, and he will hold us up. May we work and stand firm in the faith until our Lord comes, as it says in the last bits of this section. O Lord, come. May you come quickly. Let's pray.